Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
If you would open them up right to 2 Corinthians, I promise you I'm not going to intend to be too long. It is actually 10:30. But this is something that I felt the Lord speak to me. I was in Boston on a field trip with our lovely high school, and actually one of the students that was with me when this happened, he's here this morning, and so I sat down with a few of my high school, sitting down at a chessboard in Faneuil Hall, and all of a sudden this older gentleman just starts talking to us. Talking to us about life in general. I don't know, you remember. Just a lovely old man. And so he was telling me all the stories about living in Boston his whole life and the different people that he's been able to meet. And he did tell me that the four right words to a happy marriage, anything you say, dear. So I'm working on that one as well. But I enjoyed sitting down and talking with this gentleman as I watched my my students play chess, and particularly this student just continued to wipe the floor with the other student. We won't mention his name. So I love that mindset. And he had the mindset that he has come down here ever since he was retired. He's come to the same spot for 25 years, and his goal is to talk to somebody new every day. And he told us that 450,000 people go through Faneuil Hall a day, and talking to somebody new, and just that mindset of that positive mindset, I think is incredible. And I also think that it's something that we are missing these days. It's something that we're missing inside the church, outside the church. We're just missing that positive mindset. And if we take a look at the Gospels, if we take a look at the epistles, if we take a look at Christ, our Messiah, our template, we can see that that positive mindset is something that is necessary for living. Okay? And so we're in Corinthians 10, 2 Corinthians 10. I love this because we have the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who, if there was one person probably in the New Testament, he's wrote most of the New Testament. I know whenever I preach out of the epistles quite a bit because he's an intelligent man. He's lived it. He's seen both sides of the things. And we're going to kind of get into that a little bit when we move to Philippians later on. But he has lived it. He knows what it's like to have a lot. He knows what it's like to have little. He knows what it's like to be in the world. He knows what it's like to be in the world, but not of it. This man kind of cluing us in on things that we need to live our life and how we need to live our life. Okay? Because the tricky thing about our mindset, the way that our thoughts work, is our life is constantly moving in the direction of our thoughts. Okay? And if you think about that, if you could be like, well, not really, Talbot. I mean, I'm thinking of a roast beef right now, and I'm not turning into a roast beef, but now I'm hungry. So what happens is our thoughts and everything that our thoughts, okay, we move towards that direction of our strongest thought, positively or negatively. I remember being 12 years old, and my cousin slept over one time. Mike, and we were in my bedroom, and we were just young, naive, and we just wanted to be musicians so bad, and that was, I was consumed by that musician, and I could see myself on stage and playing, and I just barely knew how to play the guitar. I tried the trumpet a little bit and hated it, and I started playing the drums a little bit later, but I could see myself being a talented musician. I wanted to be a talented musician, and so everything that I thought of was like, and in my prayers, Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a musician. And so I remember one night we prayed earnestly through the naive little 12-year-olds, and I think of my 12-year-old son now, and I can see, you know, he's like a mini-me, so I can see him kind of doing this. But me and my cousin, we were just praying earnestly through the night, Lord, make us, train our hands, and we would take scripture, and we would kind of, you know, toil it around to how, you know, we got to be careful to do that. But we would say, Lord, train our hands for the battle of the guitar, the fretboard, and let's do. And we were praying earnestly as we could as boys. But it's what we were thinking about. And I continued to think about it day after day after day. And I remember I don't know if it was a Christmas or if it was I think it might have been a Christmas, but I remember getting a guitar. And I played that guitar. And that guitar, I felt like my hands became one with the fretboard. And my hands were grafted in. And then I would play the drums at this little church, this Burke Full Gospel Church, when I thought nobody was listening. And I would play, see what was going on. And I just thought about it. I went in the direction of that. And so I became. But we learn. And that's how we learn. Is we get into these things, we think about these things. So Paul kind of clues us in on something right here. Paul clues us in on something that we need to live our life by. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh," we're all flesh and blood this morning, just as on this earth incarnate, "though we are in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh." See, this is a popular theme for the Apostle Paul. In Timothy, he talks about how we share in the suffering of the soldier, good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled with civilian pursuits. He says, fight the good fight. And then in 2 Timothy, he goes on to say to Timothy, I fought the good fight. Okay, I've fought the... And so there's this fight that we have to fight, but it's not the one against flesh and blood. He clues us in on something a little bit more. And what is that but the war of the mind? He says in verse 4, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare..." Everybody say warfare. Oh, come on, that was weak. I know we're not many this morning, but say warfare. Warfare. All right, where are my soldiers at? That's a little better. Okay. "Are the weapons of our warfare not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." So strongholds. What's that mean? A lot of us have been there. A lot of us have been in those strongholds where we're in a certain area in our life and we just, I feel like I can't get out. I can't move on. I can't move outside of this way of thinking, this stronghold. Okay, some of those strongholds in our life will be, you'll be bad. Always, these bad things will always just keep happening to you, right? You've been in that stronghold or you'll always be in debt. I can't get out of debt. Anybody been there? Like this debt. I can't get anything that I do. I just can't get out of debt. I keep working my fingers to the bone, but I can't get out of debt. Okay. I'll never get healed. This is my lot in life. I'm always going to have this disease. I'm going to live with this, sort of failure. I'm going to just live with it. My past is defining me. I can't move on to my future because of my past. Strongholds that hold us in, or nobody can trust me. And I definitely can't trust anybody. These are the strongholds that hold us in. So what does Paul say again? Starting in verse 3, he says, "For though we walk walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy these strongholds." I'll never be good enough. We become that. So let's read on. I love this next verse right here. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." He brings that up again in Philippians, which we're going to get to later. "And take every thought captive to obey Christ." Taking every thought captive. So what is he saying? He's saying, watch those things that you think about. Think about. I'll never be good enough. You say that enough, what's going to happen? You're going to live it. You're going to head in that direction. Pastor Gary would always say that if you're driving a vehicle and you look off to the left, he's always counting or looking at deer. He does this all the time. One day I was driving and we were headed to Starbucks, our weekly meeting, and deer in the field. So just mid-sentence, just started to look over that 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? Oh, he's counting deer. But we often tend to go off in that direction that we are looking, that we are headed, that we are thinking. So these things, take every thought captive, he says. Every thought. Every thought captive. Anything that is not God, from God, excuse me, crush it, obliterate it, annihilate it. See, some of us, you know, especially the younger man boys in the room, annihilate it. Because what do we get? We get that picture of just this missile going off and destroying this thought that's not from God. Anything that's not from God or not of God, destroy it. That's what he's saying here. Okay? For though we are in the flesh, verse 5, destroy arguments. We destroy argument and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge. Okay? And take every thought captive to obey Christ. To obey Christ. To get that down is another whole sermon completely. But to obey Christ is every thought that is going on. Is it to obey Christ? See, when I was thinking about this message and I was praying about this, a lot of you have come up to me and you say, you know, we have a coffee or whatever, you know, and a lot of people would say, well, you always have a positive mindset. You can ask my wife, okay, I don't always have a positive mindset. In fact, it's really, it's a lot of work to get that positive mindset, is it not? Because so many times in life, something can happen and it's so much easier. It's so much easier to just take the other way and say, well, I do this to my kids. Not with that attitude. Not with that attitude, but if we could listen to that ourselves. Let's go to Proverbs 23, keeping a marker here in 2 Corinthians because we will be back there. Go to Proverbs 23. Trying not to cough into the mic. I'm getting over this nagging cold, but amen, we're healed in Jesus' name. You know, he has healed us, right? Amen, we got to start thinking that way as well, believing for our healing, amen. Some of us, we have more faith for the common cold than we do the move of God. There's no amens on that one. Proverbs. So many bookmarks in here. I don't know what they're from or for. This is a golf scorecard. I don't know how that got in there. Bringing my Bible on the golf course, maybe. Next time, maybe it would help my golf game. Proverbs 23:7. For those of you who golfed with me, you know that nothing's going to help my golf game. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you. But this is not the right verse. Let's go to Proverbs 27. I'm sorry. Nope, it's not there either. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I want to challenge you this morning. I want to ask you the question, how are your thoughts? If you believe that you can overcome circumstance by the power of Christ, then you will overcome. So now the question, it's on you, it's on us. Do we believe? Yeah. Amen? Because we can say that we believe, and I can say that, and I'm using myself as the biggest example. Okay, I can say that I believe. I believe that you're going to heal. I believe that you're going to deliver. I believe that these seats will someday be filled. Okay, these are the faithful that are here today. Okay, but Lord, I believe that there is a revival coming to the nation of America, and I believe that we will once again send disciples out to the world. And now the world is kind of sending disciples to America. Okay, but I believe that you will bless America, once again, I believe that you will heal this land. I believe, okay, but sometimes our thinking can be contrary to that. So 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians verse 6, it says, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So punish the disobedience. Who do you think he's referring to? Or what do you think he's referring to right here? Okay, punish the disobedience. Punish those negative thoughts. Get those out of your brain. Stop thinking about those. Stop thinking the Lord will never heal. The Lord will never do. I'll always be struggling with this. Or when we pray with our loved ones, you know, so-and-so will always be struggling with this. No, contrary to that. Can we believe and can we see the Apostle Paul talking to us? Those things in your life those thoughts in your life that don't belong to them and stop focusing on them. Amen? There's a war waging in our minds. I would say for the longest time, I don't have good luck preaching the gospel on this, or being a witness on the street, or sharing the gospel with people that I don't know. And so you say these things over and over and over again. If you want to be being a disciple, if you want to become better at sharing the gospel, if you want to become better at praying for people, then let's start moving our mindset in this direction. Amen. See, the gospel tells us to preach the good news, okay? To share the gospel, to demonstrate the gospel with power, to demonstrate the gospel with wisdom, to demonstrate the gospel with every conversation that we have, right? That means we weave the gospel into everyday conversation. So if we want to become better at this, you know, when he tells us that we have the divine power to take every word captive, to take every thought captive. That word captive in the Greek, it actually means to arrest, to take in, to capture, to strike with a sword. So when it says take every thought captive, think about Jesus in the wilderness. When Jesus is in the wilderness, first of all, he was at the very same, I'm studying this too right now, Jesus was in the same location that in the Old Testament, after the Exodus, when they were in the wilderness, he was in the same exact location. And when the devil comes up to him in a vision and says, I'll do this, or he tempts him, what does Jesus do? He combats him with what? The word, the sword of the scripture, which is our only offensive weapon. And I said this last time, if that is our only offensive weapon, then one would think that we should be proficient with that weapon. And we shouldn't just pull open the Bible when we think we need it most and be like, what does this say? Or go to the appendix or go. But let's be a little bit more proficient, because Jesus understood this and he combat the devil with the sword of the Spirit, the Word. Amen? So his thoughts were all leading to, let's go to Mark 8. Hey, opened right up to it, kind of. Mark 8:31. I promise this will be the right one. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside. I love this, okay, because many of us probably would have done the same thing. Peter took him aside and rebuked him, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." See, Peter, well intent. Again, any of us in Peter's shoes probably would have done the same thing. Here we are as disciples of Christ, and then all of a sudden, Jesus, and if you think about it, the Jews back in the Old Testament, when there was the prophecy of the coming king, the Jews often thought that coming king would be a militant king. He would be a military leader that would destroy all the Israelites' enemies with war. Okay, and they would, and then economic power and all this come to them. But then on the contrary, Jesus came born in a barn, right? Being born in a manger, speaking of love to the people, saying that this is, and talking about the sword of the Spirit, and talking about these certain things, and combating the devil, okay, and healing on the Sabbath, okay, against the religious laws, okay, the religious law that told the people how to wash their hands before they came to the ceremonial. It was an 8-page document, okay, and Jesus said, "You're missing the point. You're missing the point." So now, that same man, can you see us? He's saying, the man of God, the Son of God, the child, I'll suffer. I'm going to suffer. What's going to happen here? And can you see us in Peter's shoes saying, whoa, Jesus, come over here. Hold on. You're the Son of Man. Surely you can just with one word. Says what to Peter? "Get behind me, Satan," okay? And he says right here, "For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So how do we know then what are the things of God? Quickly go to Philippians. We're moving fast, and I apologize if you're not right here, there, but we're moving fast. What are the things of God? Because of Peter, even in well intentions, he was thinking of earthly things. His mind was on the worldly things. So then what? Because have you ever asked that? And maybe you're asking that right now. Okay, it's like, I know I need to think positive. That's not like scientific. That's not this huge revelation. I know that I need to think positive. Okay, so what do we think about? What are the things to think about? Philippians, Paul, once again, he says, if you don't know, now you know. I'll tell you. Verse 4 right here in chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then again, I say, rejoice. Popular scripture. We all know it. It's been on t-shirts. It's been on sweatshirts, coffee mugs, calendars. We know it. But think about those words. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. And we could think, well, Paul, come on, man. This just happened to me, and I wasn't expecting this to happen. Or this bill came in, and I didn't expect that bill. I didn't plan for that bill. Or my car broke down. My car's head gasket is almost gone. So I wasn't planning on that, Paul. Where's that, Paul? How am I supposed to rejoice? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Have we got that down to a science yet? He doesn't mention, unless this happens to you, unless you break your arm or you end up in the emergency room with, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, our ways of thinking can lead to mental pathways. Okay? And science tells us that the neurochemical pathways that are created after thoughts. Okay? I mean, scientifically, this is proven. And this is the Apostle Paul trying to challenge us, saying, watch your thoughts. Think about all the different things that you think about. Okay? And train your thoughts. Captivate every thought. So if the Apostle Paul is saying, and now science is even backing it, saying you have to watch your thoughts. But see, maybe in the world, they see your mind. In Eastern meditation, they say, empty your mind and be free from clutter. But the Apostle Paul is saying, in just a second here, he's saying, think about, actually fill your mind with the things of God. Because if our mind is leading and creating mental pathways that basically lead us down to the pathways to make the right and or wrong decisions, then that shows us that it starts in here. The war, the first battle, Joyce Myers would say the battlefield of the mind. The mind is a battlefield. It's not a playground. It's a place to take every thought captive and to create these God-honoring pathways. Because we've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. We're going to be there again. But we've got to take every thought captive. And instead of emptying ourselves, as the world or New Age would say, we actually fill the things of God. Amen? Fill our minds with the things of God. Because here's the deal. Fathers, I can speak for the fathers. Mothers, I can't quite speak for you, but I'm pretty sure that you probably struggle with the same thing. Okay, fathers, you've worked a full day. Okay, your back is hurting, your head is hurting, your eyes are, you know, you're just... You've had a hard day at the office, the job site, whatever it is, okay? And you come home, and then there's utter chaos. Kids are screaming, hanging from the ceiling fan. There's your wife trying to get everybody settled down, and the dog is literally peeing on the carpet looking up at you saying, what are you going to do about it now, mister? And all these different things going off. You get whacked in the side of the head with a frisbee. If you're anything like me, the three boys, there's always a ball, a frisbee, a hockey puck, a football, something always moving, soccer ball, everything, everywhere. It could be complete, utter chaos. And so your mental default would just come in and want to just say, and just yell at the top of your lungs, I'm not going to do it, I promise, but just stop it. And then you yell, you get angry, you get nasty, okay? I'm speaking out of experience here. And so what's going to happen is your mind is creating mental pathways that say, chaos, yell. Chaos, scream. If you've ever driven, I apologize, but if you ever have, you know that I loathe entirely red lights, okay? I understand that they have their purpose in due time, okay? I understand, but I hate them, okay? And I'm always in a hurry. I'm always moving and always rushing and always going. I don't like to stop. I like to go. I'm a doer, okay? So if you want to meet with me, a lot of times we have like walking and talking. Can we meet walking and talking, okay? Can we go? And so a red light comes and boom, offends me. Okay, right? Anybody else? Or is that just me? It immediately challenges me because my mental pathways are red light, lose it. Okay? Or we stub our toe in the middle of the night and then all of a sudden we become experts in speaking French. So what we have is stub your toe, mental pathways, lose it. Light, mental pathways, lose it. Utter chaos, mental pathways. You see what I'm saying here? So the Apostle Paul says, no, challenge that. Take every thought captive. Even deeper, the Lord tells us to pray for somebody in the supermarket. Mental pathways, we don't, and then we regret it, right? We've all been there. You've heard that story of where I kept seeing the same guy in every aisle, and the Lord was like, pray for him. He needs healing. Pray for, if you pray for him, he'll be healed. And I'm like, Surely that's not, you're not talking to me. You must be talking to the guy in the next aisle, God. Okay, but mental path, see, challenge. The Apostle Paul says, no, take every thought captive, captivate. And challenge it with the sword of the Spirit. Speak the word of God, the word of life, the living, breathing. I find that so amazing. There's no other book. I love a good book. I love a good book. I read a lot of fiction and nonfiction, usually at the same time. And I love a good fiction even that speaks to your soul. And it just, it's like cleansing your mind and getting into a good fiction book and you become one with the character. I love that. And I really, really do appreciate that about even the classics and about how they challenge our thinking. And it's just a fresh air, some of these acts of literature. And I love that. And I love a good nonfiction that speaks to us, and especially Christian writing. But there's nothing that speaks to us. There's nothing that's living like the Word of God. And even C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien can say the same thing. There's nothing like the Word of God that would speak healing, speak life. It even says there'll be healing. The Word will be healing to our flesh. Healing to your flesh. Philippians 4, I promise we're going to finish this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In utter chaos, rejoice in the Lord always. What happens? You begin to make the right decisions based on taking those thought captives, those thoughts captive. Red light, rejoice in the Lord always. Because who knows? Maybe I push through a red light or a pink light or an orange one, and then maybe there's a car. You know what? There's a reason. You know, I don't know, those happy clap. You know, there's a reason for everything. Happy, yay. Okay, but why? First of all, I know why. God's saying, look, Talbot, just slow down. Just stop. Think about, okay, just stop. And I'm like, ugh. Okay. But listen, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. He's a comedian now, the Apostle Paul. Let your reasonable be known to everyone. Okay? The Lord is at hand, and do not be anxious about anything. Right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, okay? Everything that you know as real, everything that you know as could happen, when this happens, the peace of God, right? which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Your hearts and minds. I love studying the Hebrew and the Greek and the word hearts and minds right here. Okay, I'm probably going to hack it up and miss it, but cardia and noema, okay? Cardia for heart, your feelings and your thoughts. So what is he saying right here? Will the peace will guard your feelings and your thoughts. And right here, and then he says, your mind, which is noema, which is your perception. Your perception of everything. Your perception, how you see things, how you perceive things, okay? How you talk when something happens. How you talk when you stub your toe in the middle of the night. How you react when you get to a red light. How you get hit in the head with a frisbee coming from your son and your dog pees on the carpet. That's your perception of that, right? Because some of us, we know, I'm challenged, man. I am challenged. Or when we see that person that clearly needs to be prayed for, and the Lord says, pray this, or just speak this over them. And we clam up and say, I can't. That's not me. I know the Bible calls it to be me, but it's not me. The Apostle Paul was wrong. Jesus was wrong. It's not me. When it said, preach the gospel to all the world, clearly that was just for the pastors. Right? Clearly when it says, these things shall you do, and even greater things. That was just for the workers of the church. I am just a lay person. I don't need to have the fruits of the Spirit. That's for the other people. All I need to do is come maybe Wednesday nights and learn about Romans and just sit there and just learn and hopefully that will translate to my natural life and everything will be fine. Okay? See, we are not, I don't know who said this. I know Pastor Gary says it a lot. But Christianity, the act of Christianity, is not a spectator sport. It's something that we're all part of this gospel. So then the Apostle Paul challenges us, and he let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your feelings and your thoughts, and your minds, your perceptions in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, right here, what do you think of? Instead of all these negative thoughts, what do you think of? He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What have you learned and received and heard? You've seen me. Practice these. And the God of peace will be what? With you. Isn't it amazing that it's just a mindset tweak? Romans 12:2, you don't have to put it up there. I didn't hand this one along, but this quite specifically talks about this. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the same pathways as the world, right? The world that just loses it over a red light. Do not conform to those mental pathways. Do not conform to the mental pathways of to the people that are in politics over here saying these things that are contrary to the word of God, okay? Or this people group that stands up and says, well, we are for the people, but yet that's contrary to the word of God. Do not conform to the mental pathways, but be transformed. But be renewal of your mind. After you've taken every thought captive and you've taken that sword, you've taken every thought captive and you said, I'm challenging you, thought, with the word of God. Do you line up with the word of God? Finally, brothers, whatever is true according to the word of God, whatever is honorable, whatever is just. What is just? What is just? Whatever is just. Do we live for justice? Do we live for justice? Jesus was a man that was constantly. He said, whatever you do for the least of these, you do unto me. With the children around him, he challenged the disciples. How he would be amazed with the people's faith that needed healing. The woman with the issue of blood. Think about this. I had this huge revelation today about how she pressed through despite the opposition. A lot of us, that opposition comes up and we say, oh, well, it's not my timing. Right? It's just not my timing. It's not God's timing. There's a wall there. The woman in the well could have said, there's a wall there. I can't get through. It's not my timing. Just keep going back to the doctors. I'll drop more money on the doctors who couldn't heal me. I'm not saying anything. I believe that there's people who are called to be doctors. Luke was a physician. I believe that, okay? But yet, I also believe in something bigger, that when you press through, when you break through the opposition, something happens. And Jesus said, who touched me? And then the disciples looked at him like he was a crazy man and say, well, how can you say who touched you when there's a wall of people literally up against you? Like, that person just stepped on my toe, okay? How can you say, who touched me? And he said, me. What he was saying was there, who had a certain level of faith, who broke through, who had some breakthrough because they broke through the opposition. Who touched me? Right? And then the woman comes up and says, because he felt the energy, he felt the power go leave him, and it healed this woman. And he's just waiting for us to break through the opposition, to grasp hold of that Holy Spirit, whom he made available to each and every one of us, by the way. He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving my Holy Spirit. And you can take my Holy Spirit wherever you go. That Holy Spirit will guide you. That Holy Spirit will lead you. That Holy Spirit, you call it into your life. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You can have the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But listen, I am leaving the Holy Spirit with you. So out of love, he does this. And he's waiting for us to break through the opposition. He's waiting for us to use and challenge our thinking to get out of those strongholds. He's waiting for us to challenge, to take that sword of the Spirit and say, thought, you don't belong here. You're contrary to the word of God. So I yield my sword. I yield the word of God into you. And I challenge you according to the truth. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, okay? If there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, okay? One, think about these things. And then two, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. He knows that once we start thinking about these things, once we start challenging and taking captive these thoughts in our minds, he knows that the next step is then it leads to practice. Become a better disciple. Think about these things. Get these things going on in your mind. Envision yourself preaching the gospel to the people that you work with. Read the word of God daily and get these words in you and become proficient with the sword of the Spirit and watch what the Lord would do and use you, because he desires to even more than we can think or imagine. In one word, the universe was made. So I know that in one word, he is more powerful. He is most powerful. He can do whatever he wants in one word. In one word, he can create new. He can do whatever he wants, but he chooses to incorporate us into this great plan of restoring man to him. See, I got to be careful, because I can be like on my way, and nobody's agenda is more important than my own. Right? That's how I think. I'm on my way and I'm on my car going to meet with this person, or going over here, or I've got this and this and this and this and this. And I'm the athletic director here, so I've always literally got something that I'm doing. And so my agenda can rule the day. It's like one stop sign, one traffic jam, one little tiny thing can change and challenge my mindset. But the Apostle Paul says, challenge that. Take that captive. Because there's something greater than ourselves. There's something greater than always thinking about ourselves. We can list out our passions. What are you passionate about? What are your passions? That's a rhetorical question, but think about those. What are your passions? Those passions were given to you by a creative God. I can think about those passions all day and all night. A lot of times I go to sleep by thinking about the things that I'm passionate about. But we need to ask ourselves, how do those passions align with the purpose that you have for me, God? With the purpose that says, because our purpose is what we do for others. Our passions are definitely the things that get us going, that keep us ticking, that say, God, yes, use me in this capacity. I love that. That's my passions. Okay? But how then now does our passions align with our purpose? Our purpose is what we do for others, how we think about others, how we do these things for others. Okay? Challenge this thinking. Think like this. Right? The Apostle Paul is challenging us here. Okay? There was this one time, I'm going to tell you a little story, and I promise, I had this story, I was at a birthday party once, I think I was maybe 10 or 12 or 13 years old, I was over at my friend Jimmy's house, my sister would probably remember my friend Jimmy, and they had a bulkhead, and you would go in the basement, it was a trailer that was set on a foundation, but there was no other way out other than the bulkhead, so once you got in the bulkhead, there was no other way out, and so one of us, we were playing hide and seek because that's what you do as a child. So you play hide and seek and it was great. And one of us took off. I can't remember who it was. But one of us took off and went directly into the bulkhead. Because if you had the bulkhead, nobody wanted to check in the bulkhead. It was creepy, right? So one of them went right directly in the bulkhead and they shut the door, right? But we all knew it. Right, and so we went over to the boy that was in the bulkhead. And so we're like, I'm going to sit on the bulkhead so you can't get out. I know. Trust me, this is redemptive. So we were terrorizing this kid that was in the bulkhead, and we're like, you can't get out, and he's like, no, let us out. And so we just walked past the bulkhead and we left. But we told him that we're gonna sit on the bulkhead, and you can't get out. And so he was petrified, and he's like, how do I get out of here? Help, help. And he's, I forgot about this. We apologize later, I think, maybe not. But his perception or his stronghold was all because of a lie. See, a lot of us are in that stronghold, and we're believing a lie. Because nobody was actually sitting on the bulkhead. But the enemy will challenge every single one of your minds, your thoughts. And he'll try to keep you in that stronghold with a lie. The lie of you're not worthy. But we need to challenge that. Let's listen to the 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 again. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divine power. That's dunamis power. That is dynamite power to obliterate, to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments, every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You might be in your stronghold this morning because you're believing a lie, but you need to know how to combat that lie. When the enemy would say, you're weak and you're powerless, I'm weak and I'm powerless, the Bible, the Word would say, well, the Lord is our strength and will be your strength and will lead you through. When you say, I am a victim, the Word actually says that Jesus overcame the world so we can overcome the world. Okay, so we are not a victim anymore, we are overcomers. Okay, we could say, I'm not worthy, I'm too ugly, I'm too fat. The Bible would say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? You can combat these things. I am poor. I'll never make money. I'll never get my debt. The Bible tells us how that and that our provision actually comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from our jobs. That provision actually comes from the Lord. Okay? And David would see, and I've never seen the righteous go hungry. I've never seen it. Okay? Even the people that walked after the Exodus in the wilderness, they were always provided for, and their shoes never went. I went golfing with Lee Clark the other day, and he showed me shoes that he had for 20 years. 20 plus years. And I'm going to wear shoes for 20 minutes. I get my boys' shoes for Christmas by January 5th. They're done. They're toast. Okay? The Lord is our provider. I'm broken and I'm sick. The Bible actually says he, by his stripes, we are, okay? By the whippings and the beatings on his back, and he took on every sickness of the world so we could be healed. So we could live in healing. So we could walk in freedom, and we could walk, okay? I'm alone. I've got nobody. The Bible actually says, no, I have the same spirit of the living God living in me that raised Christ from the dead. Amen? Amen. No matter what I try, I just can't bear fruit in my life. Have you ever tried that? I can't be like Pastor Gary. I'm never going to be like that. Whatever I try, I try reading the scripture, I just can't get, you know. Instead, we say, no, I am connected to the true vine. I am connected to the true vine, and that true vine is bearing the nutrients I need to bear the spiritual fruit, to preach and to demonstrate the gospel to the masses. You know, the only thing stopping you from doing what the Lord has told you to do is our mindset. It's not our physical capabilities. It's not even our physiological. It is our thinking. What's stopping me? I heard the story of the first man that broke the 4-minute mile. It was impossible, right? Maybe you've heard this story. I don't know. But he envisioned himself seeing that clock reading under 4 minutes at the finish line. And then he broke it, right? Okay, I'm not getting all new age on you, I promise. But what we need to do is challenge and change our mindset. We feel the Lord speaking us to minister the gospel to the masses. Then start thinking that way. You want to make disciples? The Bible just challenges us all. Before he ascends into the heavens, he says, go into all the world and to make disciples, to preach the gospel to every nation. Start thinking that way. Start thinking about in Jesus, what Jesus did for others, taking on the form of a servant, emptying himself completely. Taking on the form did for others, loved others, and showed others compassion, mercy, hope. Start thinking that way. Amen? Are we challenged this morning to see the, again, this is the words of the Apostle Paul. So if you don't agree with this, some of you are like having a hard time with this, you can take it up with him when you get to heaven or when you get to the New Jerusalem, and you can go up and come up. Paul, I had a problem with some of that stuff, okay, in there. But I promise you that this is the proven and true word of God. And we need to challenge and combat our thinking, our negative mindset and our negative thinking with the word of God. And instead of saying, I can't be like this, I can't, okay? The word of God tells us how we can and why we should. Amen? Stand. I want to pray for everybody in here. Heavenly Father, we appreciate your word. And Lord, we appreciate the power of your word. And God, we appreciate, Lord, that you came and you created a plan and you chose to have us in working in that plan. And so, Lord, we pray that you would align, help us to align our passions with the purpose that you have called us to do. And Father, that you would help us to challenge our mindset. Lord, every day as we are in the word, God, let that word seep within our minds, God, and let it challenge our negative thinking. Let it challenge the thinking that I'll always be sick, or I'll always be, Lord, challenge that, Lord, to know that we are healed, that we are delivered. God, challenge that negative thinking so that we see the plan and the purposes that you have for us, God. We love you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. And God, I pray that there would be born within us, God, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there would be a power to overcome. And God, that we would preach and that we would demonstrate the gospel like never before. And Father, just as you've challenged the words of the scripture in the Old Testament, for we were created for such a time as this, to see and to a gospel and to demonstrate that gospel with power to the masses that causes revival in this country. God, so we pray for every person that challenges and changes their mindset this week, God, that you would bless them and that you would give them grace and mercies, Father, to walk in the power that you have given us, God. And Lord, we now have the joy of the Lord is our strength. So Father, we walk in you. We believe in you. So Father, help our unbelief and be with us this week as we go. And Lord, as we go today, Father, I pray that you would lift up those that are, again, we lift up those that are sick and afflicted, God, and we pray that there would be healing right now in Jesus' name. We send our prayers. And Father, we pray for our pastor who is still with his son on vacation. God, I pray that you would bless that time together, that they would just, the joy of the Lord it would just be unspeakable and full of glory. God, I pray that they would laugh together, that they would have rest, that they would have peace. I pray that you would bless our pastor and his son, Father, that they would have an incredible time on that vacation, God. And Lord, I just lift up everybody here, God. I pray that you would challenge us and give us that sweet revelation every day as we find ourselves with our nose first into your word, God, reading and breathing your word into us. Father, be the air into our lungs, God, and lead us to every place that you would have us go. Father, I pray that you would anoint, Holy Spirit, anoint every word that leaves our lips and let us be for the gospel of Christ. God, we love you and we praise you. Father, I pray that you would guard our hearts against New Age false gospels and false Holy Spirits and false prophets, God, and you would guard our hearts, God, that we would walk in you with freedom of the Holy Spirit leading us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody who believes said, amen. 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 Be blessed. If you need any special prayer at all,